I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into another episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. My name is Jacob Rudner alongside Swamp 247 recruiting analyst Blake Alderman. And Blake, we have a podcast episode. It feels like we've done this quite a bit recently. We have a podcast episode that I think some people aren't really going to like. Florida has just lost its top signee from the 2023 class. Jaden Rashada has basically requested out of his binding signed national letter of intent. He went through an NIL-related debacle with the school and is now basically requesting to not end up at Florida, which was anticipated once we knew exactly what was happening. In that there was a disagreement both directions on his NIL deal, and it fell through, and as did his signature. So Florida now has three scholarship quarterbacks left on its roster. Billy Napier said on December 21st that the team needed four at all times. Needless to say, this is what I would chalk up to an unprecedented but still disastrous situation for the Gators, and I want your take on it. What do you know? What can you say? What transpired here, Blake?
You know, I think you kind of have to back up a bit, you know, back to the around early signing period back in December. You know, there were some whispers at the time of, you know, this being something that was brewing as far as, you know, there being a bit of an NIL standoff between the Florida collective NIL side and the Rashadas. You know, and then it kind of got to a point where, you know, we're sitting here on the early signing period, the first day of it, you know, whenever Billy Napier has his press conference set for such and such time, it was looking more or less like anybody outside of who was already committed to Florida, you know, anybody, you know, as far as adding any signatures from those guys, you know, that were targets, you know, was pretty much a stretch. So at that point you were thinking that it was going to be pretty much a relaxing day, you know, kind of wait for these guys that have been committed for a while to come in, you know, with their facts. And, you know, here we are, we were waiting, I think it was like an hour that Billy Napier went later on his start time or the projected start time of his press conference on the early signing day. And that was due in part to waiting on Jaden Rashada's LOI or his LOI to come in, you know, waiting for that. There was a standoff there. And again, you know, it kind of, I think the hard part of this is that there were, you know, it was like a bit of a legal battle here, you know, so I think a lot of facts in general were kept hush because of that. But, you know, to keep it very broad, you know, obviously there was an NIL battle here, a standoff, if you will. There's been numbers thrown around. I know that the $13 million over a certain period of time, you know, the big number of the deal there was what was reported and has been written some places. I can't confirm nor can I deny that number. You know, it's obviously come up. I don't know if that's because there's some legs to that number or if it's just what you've been seeing in writing. You know, I've always been under the impression of just in general, and I'm not talking about this specific example of you know, the number you hear. If I can't see the paperwork or the contracts and all those things, I take those with a grain of salt. You know, you see numbers thrown around, you know, and again, I'm not saying that's a false number. I just don't know. And I'm just under the impression that if I can't see it and see it in writing myself, I mean, I didn't care if, you know, Jaden Rashada himself or Billy Napier told me the number, you know, you would think that those guys obviously would be more in the know there, but if I can't see it myself, that's just how I've always treated these types of NIL numbers that you see thrown around. But, you know, there was either way, whatever the number was, it seemed that Florida's collective side, whether it be the collective, the Gator Guard, you know, they kind of work hand in hand with each other here, didn't seem to have the funds that were put up for that, you know, so that was where the standoff was of, you know, the number that was signed to and agreed to couldn't be fulfilled. And that's obviously where the standoff was there. Obviously, there was the reports of him at least verbally asking out of that NIL earlier on. His father went to 24/7 Sports, Brandon Huffman, who covers the West for us on a national scale. I even spoke with Harlan Rashada, Jaden's father, myself, He said that they had not requested out of anything at that time. And they went and continued to have conversations between the Rashada side and the Florida side. You know, those stretched on for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, something to that effect. And eventually came to head last night, you know, with on Tuesday night with Rashada requesting formally to be out of that NIL for Florida. So it's disastrous, you know, and I think from, you know, a PR standpoint of, you know, again, NIL has become such an important part of recruiting for a lot of these guys, you know, and only not only that, just from, you know, the egg on your face from just the program standpoint, from people on the outside looking in. I mean, a five-star quarterback is always well needed on any team. It's you know, that's the position that touches the ball every snap on offense. Whenever you get a guy like Jaden Rashada in a room, you know, where Florida needed to infuse some talent in there, you know, that's it's a gut punch. You know, there's really no other way to put it.
Yeah, no doubt. I think one of the biggest questions that I've seen personally, whether that's on the Swamp 247 message boards or even on Twitter, many people have wondered, and I think fairly, what the fallout from a situation like this could possibly be. And truthfully, to level with you, we don't know yet. I think that the dust is still kind of settling from this situation, and we're going to learn a lot more as time goes on. And as we put a little more distance between the requesting of the release or the start of the issue to when, you know, whenever we might hear a little bit more, maybe when Jaden Rashada commits to a new school, we start to hear a little bit more detail about what's going on here. I will say this though. I think you would be foolish to not at least recognize that this could be extremely detrimental, I think, to Florida. If I'm a recruit and NIL is something that is a massive part or all of what I'm considering when looking at my college options, of course I'm going to have second guesses and questions about the legitimacy of Florida's NIL funds and its collective situation and who it is that's writing these contracts. And granted, you know, to be clear, I don't know yet where blame is supposed to go. I don't know who is the most at fault. I don't know which individuals are directly responsible for this. But what I can say generally is that none of it's good. If I'm a recruit, I'm looking at this and I'm pointing at Florida and I'm going, I don't know that I can trust it. And again, maybe there will be changes made to the top of the collective or to the way that Florida goes about assigning dollar figures to athletes when they're in the process of committing to the school or how it divvies up its finances. I don't know. And maybe those things are necessary, but I should say at this moment, I think it puts a damper on the public view of the program. I think it's a great excuse for other schools to basically point at Florida and negative recruit. This is not a desirable situation. So yes, I think any reasonable person would see this and say, hey, there's going to be fallout in a broad national recruiting perspective, and it's going to take time to repair that. I think the other thing is, and it's far more important, is there are short-term ramifications to this situation. Florida was sitting at, like I said earlier in the show, four scholarship quarterbacks, Rashada one of them, and is now down to just three. On December 21st, Billy Napier said explicitly that his team should have no fewer than four scholarship quarterbacks. And as a matter of fact, he said that with regard to the 2023 season, Florida would have four scholarship quarterbacks plus a preferred walk-on to make up its quarterback room. So the choices at this point are either to shift the goalposts and adjust and say, we're going to ride with the three guys we've got. Now, granted, I think that is wholly risky. Graham Mertz has a lot to prove, in my opinion. Jack Miller, the same, if not more. And Max Brown is a young, unproven quarterback who's going to be spending the spring as a part of Florida's baseball team. So that's going to take away from his opportunities to develop as a football player. You need a fourth quarterback. Let's look at options here, Blake. Where are the places Florida could go here? I know Walker Howard, the former LSU four-star quarterback, was an option. He's now committed to Ole Miss, so you can take him off the board. What's next? Where does Florida go here?
You know, I think that's the million-dollar question. You know, you mentioned Walker Howard. That's a guy that Florida had coaches out to see. Rob Sale, the offensive coordinator, offensive line coach at Florida, that was the only name that was mentioned to me that visited them. I don't know if there were others. That's just the only name that was mentioned to me. Dropped in to see Walker Howard on Monday. You know, it seemed like coming out of that visit that it was already pretty much a foregone conclusion that Ole Miss was likely where he was leaning and ultimately would be where he landed. That came to a head today, you know, pulled the trigger. He's committed to Ole Miss, take him off the board. I think Washington transfer Sam Huard is a potential name to keep an eye on. I know you've written a story on Swamp 24/7, kind of breaking down some of these options here. What we can say right now, as far as just, I guess, maybe last check, was that, you know, as of Monday, that there were more maybe preliminary, you know, kind of doing their due diligence, maybe getting some information on Huard. But as far as we know, or I know, or, you know, that there hasn't been any direct conversations between Florida and Huard. So
that's correct.
Could that change? Could that be something that picks up as we go on going forward here, you know, with Walker Howard off the board?
That's possible.
So it definitely should. You know, you've got a guy that I think what Florida needs to look for in general, as far as maybe a transfer portal quarterback, and that could move the goalpost here, just considering the options on the board. I think they need to look for someone that has more of, you know, more than maybe 1 or 2 years of eligibility left. You know, I think that if you want to try to get someone that's as close to maybe a high school guy, or at least a guy that's been in college that doesn't have, you know, like a 1 year band-aid type of guy or a 2 year band-aid type of guy, you've got that already in Graham Mertz. You know, you've got a guy that has that experience and not much eligibility going forward. I think you need to build and continue to kind of balance out your roster with a younger guy, you know, and I think that's why Walker Howard made a lot of sense. And I think to some extent, Sam Huard makes a lot of sense there too. So, you know, those are some, you know, that's an option there. We'll see where things transpire from there. But I think one of the interesting things, and maybe I'm just kind of looking back to, you know, Quinn Ewers, the former five-star quarterback, and what he did at Ohio State before he eventually did transfer to Texas, was he was a guy that completely, you know, skipped his senior year of high school, finished the class credits that he needed to do to get into college, you know, a year earlier as, you know, as a 2B high school senior. And I think that if you look at a guy like DJ Lagway, Florida's 2024 five-star quarterback, you know, I think that that's a guy that they're obviously very excited about, you know, someone that they saw as a big part of the, you know, the puzzle for them going forward between, you know, what he can do as a passer, what he can do with his legs, you know, how he fits into the Anthony Richardson, you know, mobile quarterback type of mold of what you've seen Billy Napier use as far as his offense, you know, just from his head coaching career. I think that that's something that should at least be explored. You know, and I guess more or less I'm kind of giving my own personal opinion here, but I think that that should be absolutely something. If you're going to look at all avenues and try to figure things out, whether that's looking through the transfer portal or you know, trying to find some high school guy that maybe was unsigned that you, you know, like enough to pursue going forward in the 2023 cycle before February's National Signing Day, I think one of those options should be looking at DJ Lagway, because you've got a guy that was already planning and already working on being an early enrollee as far as being a 2024 guy. I don't think it's a complete stretch. It's obviously tough to fit extra classwork in to be a guy that finishes up to be able to graduate and be on campus, because you're looking like it would be June, summer A for that to happen. I just think that that's obviously a guy who's very talented, someone that Florida is very excited about. And I think it's at least an option that they should explore. So we'll see if any other options pop up. You know, you've got Miami quarterback Jake Garcia, who entered the transfer portal. I have heard no contact with that so far. We'll see if that's something that pops up. And I guess I'm maybe just throwing, you know, darts against the board right now of guys that have recently entered the transfer portal here. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. But as far as I know, Huard is the only guy that I know that there's been legitimate background checking or so far with Florida there. And I to me, DJ Lagway makes a lot of sense to at least explore that option. So we'll see again, you know, what happens here going forward. But I think that those are probably the ones that I guess I'm keeping an eye on at this point.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Absolutely. You mentioned that piece that I wrote this morning. Today we're recording this is Wednesday, the afternoon, January 18th, over at Swamp 247 for our subscribers, basically outlining what you just said. Huard is somebody who I, you know, we know that there's been some sort of, whether it's tiny or maybe even barely existent interest in former Washington quarterback Sam Heward. We know it has happened. We'd also know that as of the recording of this podcast, there really hasn't been any contact between the two sides. Should there be? I think so. You can go after a late high school addition in the class, very a la Max Brown from last year. Again, taking some sort of a project late. Does that work? Sure, maybe. It is a Band-Aid solution. I think that you would need to out-recruit heavily that person next year. And then, like you said, and this is the option that really intrigues me, and it's where my head immediately goes, and I included it in that article that you mentioned, is DJ Lagway. I think that you'd be remiss if you're Florida to not at least investigate, hey, where are you at in your academic standing? Can we push up your academic calendar from a December high school graduation to a pre-summer high school graduation? Maybe you get
him whether it's summer A or summer B, you know, either option.
Exactly. I was about to say you can enroll him in summer B at Florida. You get him on campus for workouts, preseason camp. You do not have any expectations of him to play. Graham Mertz is essentially your guaranteed starter, and you develop him for a year. There's no harm in developing this guy in a college offense. You give him access to Billy Napier and the college training rooms and weight staffs, and he gets to watch film and basically be a year ahead of his development. You don't have to play him. You get him on the roster as basically your emergency fourth string backup, which is all Florida needs at this point. And it sets up quite nicely to bring him over into 2024 and basically go, hey man, you have a great spring, great summer, great preseason. You could start in what's supposed to be your first year as a Florida quarterback. I actually see a lot of benefit to this. Is it a Hail Mary though? Let's call a spade a spade. Is it a Hail Mary long shot? Probably. It's late. This was not a consideration 2 weeks ago. And the fact that it's a consideration now makes it tough. But again, is it possible? You mentioned somebody who just did it within the last couple of years. Yes, it is possible. So something to follow. We have not yet heard whether or not that's going to be an option. We haven't heard if Florida is pursuing that. I would just have to assume, given the situation, that that is something that they're at least investigating. And I would be somewhat shocked if they aren't. So
even if it's a Hail Mary, sometimes Hail Marys get caught, you know, so who knows?
That's exactly right.
And I think another thing too, that let's just say, let's play the what if game, you know, if that does happen and he's in here for summer A, you know, Florida would still have plenty of time to look at the board for the 2024 guys. You know, yes, a lot of those 2024 guys at quarterback are already coming off the board. But you know, there's still a handful of guys that haven't yet. So I think that ideally, you know, I was even kind of thinking when we were sitting here talking on the show, I'm like, well, man, even if Florida could get this, you know, get Lagway in the fall, who cares? He's here. Like, you already have the expectations of that. But usually end of summer, you know, it's around that time, a lot of those QB dominoes start to really fall. Granted, they already have started to fall. But, you know, I think that, you know, that seems to me like maybe the best case for Florida there, you know, just as far as maybe the options they have there, because I just don't know that you really love any of the guys that are in the transfer portal right now that are just viable options right now. You just think that there would have already been something that would have popped up already. So, you know, right. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Let's pivot to some more positive news. Florida has landed some transfers. I think the total is now at 7 off the top of my head, 7 or 8. But since our last show, they've landed 2, both offensive linemen from Baylor, guard Micah Masua, and from Alabama, tackle Damian George. Two good players. I think Masua is really excellent. I don't remember where I posted this, but or maybe I was talking on somebody else's podcast recently. I said that Masua is my favorite addition that Florida's made so far this offseason. I think he's a really talented guy who has the potential to be a very solid player in the SEC. George is an interesting prospect. I think he's got potential. Let me get your takes on Masua first, and we'll move to George after that.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm, from the film I've watched of him at Baylor, really good at pulling and blocking in space, really good at getting to the second level. He's not, you know, whenever I typically think of guards, I think of like, you know, big fatties, you know, guys that are just there just to bulldoze guys, to, you know, open those holes in the run game. And I feel like Masua, yes, he does. Obviously, he has size. You know, offensive linemen are made to be big, large humans. But he has the athleticism that you want to see as a guard. You know, with the way Florida likes to run the ball, get those blockers out in open space, you know, I think that that's, you know, I think he's a really good fit for what they want to do offensively. On top of the body fit and style, and you know, just how he fits offensively into that, you know, style they run. He has a lot of snaps on the offensive line from Baylor. You know, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. I've written a story about it that includes those on his, you know, you can find that on his profile on 24/7 Sports that has those numbers on there. But he's a guy that has a lot of snaps, and that's what Florida really needs. You know, if you're going to replace, and I don't even know that you really replace a guy like Osiris Torrence, because that is a guy that, you know, came in 1 year and was a consensus All-American, is going to get a brick outside of the stadium. You know, that's a hard guy to replace. But I think Masua, just having those snaps at, you know, at the college level, bringing the, you know, the physicality and, you know, the athleticism and the ability to block in space. I agree with you when you said that he's probably the, you know, the favorite transfer portal addition that Florida's added so far. I agree with you. You know, I think he's extremely interesting from all aspects here, from athleticism, from how he fits in and, you know, blocks in space, on top of the experience he has, you know. So I think that was probably my favorite, you know, addition they got there. And you already lost, you know, a guy like Ethan White to the transfer portal, who hasn't, you know, picked his next destination yet. And you've lost Michael Tarquin, who has already committed. And I haven't followed up if he's actually enrolled at USC, but either way, he's going to USC, you know. So you're replacing, you know, Ethan White with a guy like Masua, and even to kind of roll over to Damian George here, you're replacing a guy in Michael Tarquin with George, you know, a guy that fits more than likely, and I would expect him to fit into that right tackle position. He's a large human. You know, he's a big dude with his big frame. You know, I saw him on campus this past Saturday when he was on his official visit walking around. I mean, he's gigantic. You know, I think that you look at the size that Florida's adding for that offensive line, you can really see what their criteria is for the offensive lineman that they want to recruit. They, you know, hashtag large humans. You know, they want those big time type of guys in there. I think George, probably from a, you know, maybe a technical standpoint, from what I've seen of him at Alabama, you know, he played more games in 2021 than he did in 2022. I think footwork is probably an area where he needs to improve. I think the silver lining of that, you know, negative part of his game, is that you're looking for this guy to fit in at the right tackle position. You know, obviously you want your tackles to have footwork. You want them to be able to hold the edge there. But you would much rather have a guy that needs to improve on those areas at your right tackle compared to your left tackle position.
Yep.
So I think that, again, I've talked on it on this podcast before, Florida really needs to fill in that offensive tackle spot in general on their roster. I think they've done a really good job of that, getting a guy like George who fits the criteria of just being a big person. And I think that this is a chance, because he has 2 years left of eligibility remaining, is you've got a guy that may have those areas in his game he needs to fix. But I think that you see what Rob Sale and Darnell Stapleton, Florida's offensive line coaches, have done as far as, you know, development and coaching over their career. You know, that they have done a good job of that. Look at Florida's offensive line last year. You know, I feel like every year previously before Billy Napier and, you know, his staff came in here, that I sat on this podcast and I talked about, man, the offensive line has a lot of, you know, a lot left to be desired. And you see that the same guy, you know, you had a guy like Torrence, you know, that's a big upgrade. He was a big piece of that puzzle that really helped them along. But in general, these were some of the same guys that were at Florida under the previous staff that really improved their game overall. So you see that development that you know, Stapleton and Sale made with those guys. And it puts a lot of faith, that, at least on my end, that Damian George could be a guy that they could coach up this spring, have him ready to play for the fall. And you know, who knows? We'll see where things shake out. But that development they've shown certainly gives me some confidence that that's a guy that could definitely elevate his game, you know, in year one under the, you know, after his transfer.
I would agree with that. I would also say that, you know, confidence, which I have as well. I think that Rob Sale and Darnell Stapleton have a history at this point of not only finding guys who are perhaps under-recruited, but taking those under-recruited talents who they identify as reasonable for them and turning them into really good players. You mentioned Osiris Torrence, obviously. Max Mitchell, who was a fourth-round draft pick out of Louisiana when they were there, is now with the New York Jets. Robert Hunt, who has been with the Dolphins, was also a Louisiana guy, draft pick. So the history is there for this coaching duo at the offensive line group. And I think you put that aside for a second. This is a really good opportunity, I think, for Florida fans to see that developmental skill in action. It's an opportunity for us to look at guys like Rob Sale and Darnell Stapleton and say, okay, you have a history of doing it, but can you do it successfully in the SEC? And take a guy like Damian George, who has been up and down in his career when he's on the field at Alabama, and make him into somebody who becomes a serviceable right tackle for your team. Because this is the guy who, in my opinion, is basically the shoe-in starter at the position, unless somebody like Cameron Waits can really come on in the spring or the fall and kind of steal that job. But I think it's George's to lose, and it's an opportunity for Sale and Stapleton to prove themselves. I actually think that Florida's offensive line is in an okay position. I don't think that they're in bad shape. I think that Barber performed well when he was on the field last year. I'm pretty confident that he could do a serviceable job at left tackle. You plug in Masua at left guard. That's a really good addition. Kingsley Egwukan, the center, I think is solid. Another year of development under Salen Stapleton should go a long way for him. So I think that that's just another taken care of position at a minimum. Right guard is my biggest question. I think that Richie Leonard is your shoe-in to start there. Cameron Waits also has experience playing guard, and I actually kind of like him more as a guard than I do as a tackle, despite his frame. So I could see maybe a battle happening there, but those are two guys who I think, again, have an opportunity to be developed and kind of step up. We saw Leonard perform really well at times last year. And then you bring in a guy like George, start at right tackle. So I do think that that unit is in an okay spot, contrary to what a lot of people have been saying recently. And it'll be interesting to see how that develops throughout the spring and then, of course, into the season as well. Before we close out the show, Blake, any final thoughts?
I think just in general, you know, you've seen what these guys have done through the NCAA transfer portal. You know, I think that there's still some needs to hit on going forward. You know, I think whenever you look at the roster, running back is certainly, you know, Montrell Johnson, you know, Trevor Etienne, those guys played really well last year. I think ideally you would at least explore adding another running back there, whether it be a grad transfer guy or someone that maybe has limited eligibility left. Because again, you've got Treyon Webb already there and enrolled and ready to go for the spring. They've already got Chauncey Bowens as a commit in the 2024 class. And they're already looking at, you know, other guys at running back in the 2024 cycle. So you would think that it seems like two in the 24 cycle is ideal. So I think in general, you know, adding another running back makes a lot of sense for Florida. I think offensive line is still an area where maybe you're not as in dire of a need as you were before adding Masua and adding, you know, Damian George in the fold. We'll see if any guys enter the portal going forward or if anybody else shakes out going forward. I think that offensive tackle just in general of just the lack of depth of that position, I still think is if you can find a guy that you like and that you can want to pursue, I don't think that I would completely shut the door on that. You know, that's just maybe my opinion of reading the roster here going forward. I think a safety makes a lot of sense there. You saw that they tried to kick the tires on Baylor transfer Al Walcott, who did not end up making a previously planned official visit to Florida earlier this month. He eventually committed to Arkansas and didn't get to Florida. And that's a guy that really lined up more at nickel at Baylor there. So I think that you look at the nickel position, obviously Trevaz Johnson is on his way to Missouri from Florida. You've got a couple of these guys in the 2023 high school cycle that I don't think you would really like to throw out there and, you know, kind of, you know, throw them in the fire that early. So I think maybe a guy at nickel or someone that could at least roam around between that, you know, safety and nickel position, I think makes a lot of sense. So I personally think two wide receivers, an area where Florida needs to at least entertain somebody and that they like going forward, whether that be, well, the portal window closes as of, you know, the end of the day, so you won't see any new guys pop in there. Right. Could somebody shake out in the spring portal period? We'll see. So I still think there's some areas that Florida still needs to address going forward. And again, quarterback, who knows? You know, we've already talked about transfer portal options there. We'll see. So those are just some of the areas that I think that Florida should still be doing their due diligence on as far as, you know, portal guys going forward. So I guess that's just my thoughts right now, just since we're talking about portal guys and additions that they've gotten there. I think those are still some needs that are worth addressing as far as looking at the roster.
Well, there you go. That's going to do it for this episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. But before we let you go, just a couple of important housekeeping notes. Do check us out over at swamp247.com. We're constantly posting information both in story form and on our message board. And you really aren't getting the full experience of information from us if you aren't subscribed, just because we are going to fill you in a lot more, especially via that message board, if you do hit the subscribe button. I would say other than that, keep it locked on our YouTube page for more episodes of the Swamp 247 podcast. And thank you to those of you who listen to us on Spotify and other podcasting platforms. But for this episode, that is going to do it. And for Blake Alderman, my name is Jacob Rudner. We'll see you next time.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.